Did you say 111 in attendance today? That's wonderful. That's more than we've had for a while. We've been having good attendance, however, every Sunday for the last several months. But we're thankful that all of you are here on this Palm Sunday, this Sunday before Easter. Darcy, thank you for playing that song for us today. Darcy's grandfather has passed away. Most of you know that, Mr. Bob Jones. His funeral is tomorrow at 10 o'clock, a graveside service at Locksburg at the cemetery there. And I know he'd be happy you played that song today. It's a beautiful song. Our church will be serving a meal to their family tomorrow. So it'll probably be around 11:30 after the funeral service there. Devin's going to help me do the funeral service. Be praying for him. Of course, he is so close. It's like his father just about, isn't it? And so you be praying for Devin and as he helps with the funeral service in the morning. My wife is still sick. She's been sick over a week with bronchitis and stuff and can't seem to get over it. And so I'm missing her today for sure. I always miss her when she's not here. And she's missing being here because she loves things like Easter egg hunts and decorating for Easter. And she had this thing. She wanted to have a cross out front of the church. So she... Of course, Adam had built a cross, and she talked to Adam and Tiffany, I think. And so sure enough, I came up this morning, and there's a cross out in front of the church. Anna went and got some purple material to put on it today, and then the middle of the week, they'll put white on it for Easter Sunday. But she said, I've been wanting to do that so bad, and so it's out there. But to help all who pass by to... Remember, this is a time when we remember our Lord's death. And we do it through the Lord's Supper, but we also do it other times during the week and the year. If you have your Bible, would you take it and turn to Luke chapter 23, Luke 23. And I want to begin reading at verse 33. You notice this is a story about a terrible thing that happened about 2,000 years ago over in Jerusalem. There was so much violence, so much conflict. Jesus had been alive for about 33 years. He had been in public ministry about 3 years, 3.5 years, since his baptism. And things went from bad to worse all of that time. The government authorities hated him, and they hated what he stood for, and they hated his movement that they thought he was trying to start in their country. The political leaders hated him. The religious leaders hated him. He was despised and rejected, the Bible says. And he still is despised and rejected. We have but to look around us. We have to listen to the news, read it in the newspapers, go around the world. And some of you all, I guess all of us travel around the world in our minds on our television sets, the internet news and everything else. Jesus is still despised and rejected. His name is scorned. It was back then, and it still is. It's no better than it was back then. There are still people who are trying to put Christians out of business. I noticed that, was it this week or last week, that our government finally decided to call what they're doing to Christians and some other minority groups as genocide. Genocide, that doesn't sound like a bad word to some. It sounds like a bad word to me. It just means that one group is trying to completely destroy another group. And there are those in the world, ISIS and others, who are, as our government officially has said, are trying to, are committing genocide, and their whole philosophy, their goal is do away with Christians, as well as some other minority groups, do away with them altogether so that there's not one left anywhere in the world. And so that would mean me and you, all of us at Derrick's who are believers in Christ, they want to destroy us. That sounds scary. The children, I hate for them to even to have to hear that. Maybe they'll not ever be affected personally by it. But this is the kind of a world in which Jesus came, and this is the world that turned against Christ. And you know the story so well. In Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on his right hand and the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, his clothes, his robe, and they cast lots. They threw dice, cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also derided Jesus, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself. If he's really the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen one of God. You can just hear them as they mocked him. They would do that today, of course. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him strong drink, vinegar, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself, king. A superscription also was written over the head of Jesus in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, three languages. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, the thieves, who were hanged, railed at him and said, If you're really the Christ, save yourself and save us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation? In other words, you're in the same shape that he's in. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man in the middle, this man, Jesus, has done nothing amiss. He's done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he died, gave up his spirit. That's what that means, he died. Now when the centurion soldier saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. How many of you have been to the theater and seen Risen, the movie, the motion picture? Anybody seen it yet over here? Anybody seen it? Maria, have you already seen it? Did you like it? Pretty touching, wasn't it? Yeah. There's another movie at the theater in Texarkana called The Young Messiah. How many of you have seen that? It's about Jesus when he was about 6 or 7 years old. Well, we'll be seeing that one of these days, I suppose, if we don't go to the old guys like us, we say the picture show. Are you old enough to remember that? The picture show? That's, we went to the picture show. But we call it the movies nowadays. Well, that centurion soldier, I believe it starts about there, that movie. He says, truly this was a righteous man. And they try to figure out where Jesus went after the cross and what happened to him. You've heard this story so much, and sometimes I think it becomes kind of old hat to us. And that's sad, isn't it? When I read that story, I wonder, how can I read it and keep a straight face? How can I read it and not just break down and cry? There's something wrong in my heart. I'm not really seeing it like it really needs to be seen. I'm not hearing it like it. I need to hear it. Because that's our Jesus Christ who is dying there upon the cross. There's a scripture in Galatians chapter 6 that I want you to look at. Galatians 6:14. And the Apostle Paul wrote Galatians to the churches in Galatia. That was a part of the world. And in the last chapter of Galatians, in chapter 6, verse 14, this is what Paul says. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He says, I won't glory in anything but the cross. I just wanted Damon to sing that song so much, Damon. I guess the word didn't get to you. I texted your mother or something, but she late last night, about 12 o'clock, by the way. Probably was. I said, man, I wish somebody had sing that song. I will glory in the cross. That famous song that Dottie Rambo wrote. She wrote so many of them. Oh my, I went to YouTube last night and listened to several people singing it. Oh, and I listened to her sing it, and she was doing the sign language. Dottie died not long ago, but she wrote that song. Guess I'll have to sing it myself, Damon. I boast not of works or tell of good deeds, for naught have I done to merit his grace. All glory and praise shall rest upon him, so willing to die in my place. So I will glory in the cross, lest his sufferings all be in vain. I will weep no more for the cross that he bore. I will glory in the cross. And then that second verse says, my trophies and crowns, my robe stained with sin, was all that I had to lay at his feet, unworthy to eat at the table of life, till love made provision for me. I will glory in nothing in this world except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me think of two or three reasons that I glory in the cross, and that you should glory in the cross. Number one, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 23, we find this verse. Hebrews 9, 23 or 22. It says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. That verse, along with many others, but particularly that one, tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no such thing as sins being forgiven. It's totally impossible for forgiveness without the shedding of blood. That's just God's plan. That's the way He planned it. So I glory in the cross because it was on the cross of Calvary that Jesus shed His precious blood for us. Secondly, the death of Jesus was planned by God the Father from before the beginning of time. Revelation chapter 13. Boy, this is a good one. Revelation 13. I see some of y'all reading your Bibles on your cell phones. That's great. The day will come when nobody will have a Bible in their hand, probably. I may not live long enough, but the day will, it'll be all right. I mean, I don't mind you reading it like Damon's doing. And Lisa, they both got it, their Bibles down there. They just turn. It's so easy to do. And you younger people, I hope you'll start doing that because you'll at least be looking at the Bible, and that's what I want you to do. But that's the way to do it. Just bring it and read the Bible right there. You don't have to have a book like I'm looking in here. It's in your cell phone or whatever. But in Revelation 13 and verse 8, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him. That day is going to come. All they that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him. Well, that worshiping the beast. All they that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him. That's the one who's making war with the saints. If you get back in Revelation there, that's where we are there. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Now here's the passage I wanted to look at. In the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from how long ago? From the foundation of the world. You say, well, Brother David, I thought at the beginning of the sermon you said that Jesus died on the cross about 2,000 years ago, Jerusalem, outside the city of Jerusalem, Israel. Well, that's how it all played out. That's right. But the whole thing was planned before there was an Adam and before there was an Eve. Before there was ever a sin introduced into the world, God already knew that before He even created the world, before He spoke and everything came into being. And that's what that verse says right there. That's the word of the Lord. The Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. And back in 1 Peter, there's another verse to look up. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. In verse 19 and 20 of 1 Peter 1, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, listen, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So Peter tells us, and in the book of Revelation it tells us, that way back before time ever started, in the counsels of God, now that may not be a term that you're familiar with, but the counsels of God, there was a decree made by God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There was a council and there was a decree made in the Godhead
whereby the plan was made for everything that was going to happen in the whole universe for all of time. And so the death of Jesus was not an afterthought. It was not just something that because things didn't work out, God decided to let happen, and because evil men became more evil and decided they were going to... That's true. And men were responsible. They did it. They decided to do it. They planned to do it. But little did they know that it was already in the plan of God for that to take place. That's why the death of Jesus is one that we glory in. Because it was not just something that happened to a man on a cross. It was something that happened to the Son of God according to the plan of God whereby He might save the world from sin. Boy, that gets bigger than my mind. I've got a peanut for a mind anyway, it seems, and I don't think very deep, but that's a big thought that makes me want to glory in the cross. There was more going on at Calvary than anybody there understood. Oh, they saw little pieces of it, but they didn't know the whole picture. And we glory in the cross. You know, the cross is prophesied. You could go all the way through. You could go back to Genesis chapter 4 and look at verse 4, and you'd find old Cain and Abel. And you'd find that Cain brought an offering to God, and Abel brought an offering to God. Cain brought an offering of vegetables, produce, grain and stuff. But Abel brought an offering of the flock, of the sheep, of a lamb. Even away back there, there had to be blood in the sacrifice. And so the Bible says that when Cain brought his, he got all bent out of shape, because God wouldn't take his. And it was not, as some people say, just because he didn't quite have the right motive. That may have been in there, but that's not really the heart of it. The heart of it is that a blood sacrifice was demanded. And do you remember that already lambs had been slain? The blood was offered. And so Cain just rose up and killed Abel. So you can go back and look at the blood there. Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham takes, because God had told him to, takes Isaac his son and takes him all the way up to Mount Moriah, where years later the temple would be built on Mount Moriah. But he took his son Isaac, took him all the way up there and built an altar and was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac was a grown man. And he could have fought. He might have whipped his daddy. We imagine that he probably could have. He probably could have kept him from killing him. But Isaac was the obedient son. Isaac was even a type of the Lord Jesus, who at the hands of the Father God would willingly go to the cross and die for us, for our sins. And Abraham was raising the knife. Isaac was there on the altar, and suddenly there was a lamb hung up by the horns in a thicket like a crown of thorns. And there was the lamb. And Abraham, he didn't kill his son. The lamb was provided. It was provided. God always provides a lamb and a way of sacrifice. And you could go to Moses when he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and you'd find the Passover, and you'd find the death angel passing all over. I noticed on the TV guide today that this week they're going to show Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments. It says you can watch TV this week and see him part the Red Sea again. Is that old movie? Yeah. Well, there was the everyone was dying, the firstborn of Egypt. And God said,
to Moses, tell the people to take lamb and take that spotless lamb and kill it and put the blood upon the posts of the door. And God said, and when the death angel comes, goes throughout the land and all these little babies are dying, when we see the blood on the doorposts of your house, then it's going to pass over. Passover. Passover. That's where Passover came from. That's when they started observing Passover. The blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So that from that time of Moses, all the way through until the time of Jesus, every time a lamb was killed, every time that blood was shed, it was a prophecy looking forward to the day when finally Jesus would come as the true Lamb of God and would die upon the cross and shed His blood. So all through the Old Testament dispensation of time, every sacrifice pointed forward to the cross, and Jesus came, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth, of the world. And He died for us. The Lamb slain for me and for you. John was baptizing people. John the baptizer on the Jordan River. And he looked up and he saw Jesus coming. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And about that time a dove like the Spirit came and rested upon Him. I can see it come down upon Jesus, that Spirit. And then God the Father, who was involved and had planned this whole scenario from before the foundation of the world, God the Father, looking down, said, "Ha! Oh! This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The obedient Son, just like Isaac and Abraham. The obedient Son who said, "They're not going to take my life away. They're not going to take my life away. I'm going to give it." And that's what Jesus did. They didn't take it away. He gave it. He surrendered Himself in obedience to the Father's will. And there upon the cross, you'll notice the darkness that came. And in that horrible darkness, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And in that moment, that horrible moment, He was becoming sin. He was bearing sin. He was becoming sin. Although He was innocent, He didn't have any sin, but He took our sins upon Him. And that's why, as Darcy played a while ago, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" I would say, as she was playing that, "Yeah, Darcy, I was there." "How can it be, you children say? Brother David, are you 2,000 years old? You look old, but I don't think you look that old." I'm not 2,000 years old, but I was there because my sins were there. And because of my sin, He died upon the cross. I know that sounds mystical. It is. I know it sounds spiritual. It surely is. My sins. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sins, not the part, but the whole, were nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. It is well. It is well because of that." Today, I wish I could go on, but we can't go further than this. But I hope I have helped you to understand
that you need to glory in nothing but the cross. You want to wear it on a necklace? That's all right. Wear it on something. Put it in a picture in your house. That's okay. Put it out on the front lawn. But go deeper than that. Glory in the cross. Because what Jesus did there is why you are saved, if you are. And it's how you can be saved if you're not yet saved. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for this day, for this glorious Palm Sunday. And I pray, dear Father, that your Holy Spirit will continue as you have done in leading me to this sermon. I pray you would speak to hearts as you no doubt have been doing already. And Lord, if there's somebody here today who is not saved, and they desire to be, they want to be, they're willing to be, I pray they would surrender to you. Repent of their sins. Come to you for salvation. Lord, there may be those who need to join the church. Some need to be baptized, desire baptism. I pray that if they desire that, they'll come and let us know that. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.